is just full of love, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of what's going on in our church. I have a couple familiar passages of Scripture that I want to read, and I want to kind of deconstruct them a little bit, probably burst some bubbles, but then I want to tell you the good news of what it really looks like, this love that we're talking about. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to open your word and we're going to look at you and your love. Lord, we need your love. We need what your love is. And so I pray this morning, I ask you to speak to us. We just sang to you, speak what is true. And Lord, I'm praying you'll speak into our hearts as only you can. Lord, take your word, it's the word of God, and just etch it into our minds and into our souls. Lord, create in us Jesus, our Savior. Help us to love just like Jesus did, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. First passage of Scripture I want to read this morning is Matthew chapter 22. It's familiar to some of you. Jesus has been in a little bit of a heated discussion with some lawyers, religious lawyers. He was doing very well in his argument, which you can only imagine Jesus would do very well. Some of the other Pharisees noticed, wow, he handles himself really well in these discussions. So they ask him a very tricky question, trying to test him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Now, put yourself in that shoes. You know, a lawyer is now looking at you, coming with his wisdom, trying to test you. And this is his question: Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is a very key verse right here, verse 40. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Remember that. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So we're speaking about the law. They asked him from the law, from the Old Testament, particularly from those first five books, which is the greatest commandment from this Old Testament law? And he told them these two statements. And it says that on these two statements, all the law depends on this. So now in Mark chapter 12, and Casey will put this one up here for you. Mark chapter 12, do we have the full scripture or just the reference on? Just the reference, okay. So Mark chapter 12 is this same story, and I'm going to read it to you, this same story with a little more detail. One of the scribes, that's the lawyer, came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he, Jesus, answered them well, he asked, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered him, listen to this answer, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe, the lawyer, said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all their understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So remember that phrase in Matthew, all the law depends on these two statements. And then this conversation here. Because this is my point. This is what I'm going to say. They were coming to the table with their love. What is love? It's loving God. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the conversation surrounding love. They come with this statement, and we as a church in America today, we take these two commandments and we go, well, that's just what I need to do. I need to love God with everything I have, and I need to love my neighbor as myself. I'm saying that's not what Jesus is saying, and I'm saying, number one, we don't, and number two, we can't. That's not the point of this conversation. And we don't, and we can't. So, well, I thought love was really, really important. Love is extremely important. Extremely important. And I'm going to show you what we can do with love and the beauty of God's love. But that's not what this is telling us. This is part of the law. This is for Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's three parts to what Jesus said. The Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel. This is the Shema. It's right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one God. And they knew, Israel knew God was God the Father, the creator of all things, His Spirit and His Mashiach, His Messiah, His expression. They understood that and they were saying, He is one. He is one and there is no other God. No other God but the God of Israel, Jehovah. He is one. Father, Son, Messiah, Mashiach. And there is no other. Then he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love this God with every part of your being, everything you have, totally. And number two, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this is the law. The law depends on, the Old Testament law depends on these two statements. You know what it is to depend on someone, right? I need something done. I need to accomplish something, and I can't do it. I don't have time. So I call Terry, and I say, Terry, will you get this done for me? And she says, yes, and I'm depending on her. I'm going to get this done through Terry. So what Jesus is saying about the law here is, that if you want to keep the whole law, it depends on you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. You can keep the whole law. Every commandment in the Old Testament, you can keep it if you love God with everything you have and love your neighbor just like yourself. It depends on that. So that's what he's saying. Now, there's a problem with that. There's a problem right here. Number one, we don't love each other or love God like that. I don't. I don't love God with every bit of my being. I wish I did. I want to. But quite honestly, I don't. Quite honestly, good old Terry likes to think about good old Terry and do what good old Terry feels like doing sometimes. I don't love him with everything I have. I certainly don't love my neighbor as myself. I have a great sweatshirt at home in my house. Comfortable sweatshirts, like that Fairfield sweatshirt. Really nice sweatshirts. That's a really powerful currency in my house. Man, sweatshirts are the bomb in my house. So I have this sweatshirt that has this big fleecy inside of it. Looks like a sheep or something, right? It's getting kind of tattered. It's getting a little bit, you know, old. And what I've really thought about doing was bringing that sweatshirt, which is like my favorite dog or something. I mean, it's like my buddy, right? It's like, I can't get rid of this. I can't throw this away. Maybe I'll bring this into church and give this to someone downstairs. I'll put it on the rack downstairs because somebody is going to fall in love with this sweatshirt. This sweatshirt, if it could talk, it would kiss me right on the cheek. This is an amazing sweatshirt. And I'm going to go to Sam's Club where I got it, and I'm going to get me a new one. All right? Because they got them over there. I seen them. However, that is not loving my neighbor as I love myself. If I loved my neighbor as I love myself, I would go to Sam's and I would buy two of them. And I would give my neighbor one, and I would take one. And I would throw that other one out. I do not love my neighbor like I love myself. My neighbor gets my really good, but not what I give myself. I just don't. I'm just being honest with you. I do not love people with all the care and love I love myself. I don't. And I don't love God with every part of my being. I'm a sinful person. I just don't. I don't, and I can't. Quite honestly, you and I can't love God the way we should love God. And we can't love our neighbor as ourself. If we could, we could keep the law. It depends on that. I could keep the entire Old Testament law if I could love God that way and love my neighbor. And there's a problem here. There's a problem here. I'm looking at Romans chapter 4. I'm looking up there at Romans chapter 4. Look at here. I think he's got it. You got Romans chapter 4. You don't have Romans chapter 4. Okay. We will find Romans chapter 4. Do you have Galatians chapter something? All right. Let's see Galatians chapter something. There it is. All right. Let's read this together. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. I can't. I can't obey the law. If you were to look up Romans chapter 4, he would say, no one can keep the law of God. That's not why it's there. The law is there to show us our sin. I can't keep the law, so I can't love God with every bit of my being. And I can't love my neighbor as I love myself. If I could do that, I could keep the law. And the Bible says, I absolutely can't keep the law. So what am I going to do here? What's the issue here? Well, the issue then becomes this. That really, when I break the law, when I don't do something the Bible tells me to do, I break God's love. Because God's love to us is, this is how you love me completely. It's the Old Testament. If you want to love me completely, read the law. I've told you how to love me completely, entirely. And I've told you how to love your neighbor as yourself. In the Old Testament, in the law. All these rules, all this stuff, that's how you love me completely. That's how you love your neighbor as yourself. And every time I break something the Word of God says about loving you or loving God, I'm really breaking God's love. What God's love looks like. This is how much I love you. This is how much I love everyone. It looks like this in the law of God. Jesus expanded it to the prophets, the law and the prophets. So you and I, we can't keep the law. We can't love God the way we should. We can't love our neighbor the way we should. What are we going to do? We are in trouble. We are in trouble. Did you hear what Jesus said to this guy right here? This guy had it nailed. This scribe, this lawyer, when Jesus gave him these two things, Jesus said, "Man, you have really spoken well. You are near the kingdom of God. You're near. You're close." I used to play a game when I was a kid, right? I'd hide something, somebody would go find it, and I'd go, "You're cold, you're cold, you're cold, you're cold, you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer, you're getting hot, you're getting hot, you're getting hot. No, you're getting cold again, no, you're getting cold again, no, you're getting cold again." Jesus said, "You're getting warm, you're getting warm, but you haven't found it. You're not there yet. You get this love, you get it. Man, you spoke that so well. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. God is one. It's more than burnt offerings. You get it. You're getting close. You're getting close." Really? That's all? Yeah. Let me make this statement to you. Love is essential. Our love is essential, but it's not enough. It's not enough that you and I are some of the most loving people on the planet. It's not enough. It won't get you into the kingdom. It'll get you close. You're on the right road. You're in the right neighborhood. Google's getting you really close on these directions, but you're not there. Love is essential, but not enough. And my third statement is this. Love is a fruit, not a pardon. Love is a fruit, not salvation. Love is a fruit, not justification. I don't come to God. I don't get into His kingdom because I'm a loving person, because my love is so good, because my love falls way short. My love falls short. I get in, I make it there because of Jesus and His cross, not my love. Love is essential. Love is a fruit. It's something that springs out of me once I have Jesus. But it's not my salvation. It's not my pardon for my sins. I'm a really loving, nice, caring person. I help everybody I can, and I get along with everybody I can. And I will say the same thing, maybe you're getting warm. Maybe you're near, but you're not there. Because your love falls short. Your love falls short. So, with that said, Casey, please tell me we have 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21 on that slide. We do. I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to read this. And I just want you, see, I'm going to hide behind Debbie's thing here. And I just want to read this extended passage of Scripture. And I want us to get some idea, some New Testament idea. This is where love rightly belongs in our life. So let's read this together. Let's just watch, just follow along. Very easy to read here. "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to a full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, We have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, they have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, listen to this, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we can't see? And He has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So that's love's rightful place. We love because He loved us in Jesus. We are saved. We are His because we trust our life to Jesus and that love of God in Jesus. And the truth is, once God comes in and Jesus comes in, then that love that He brings in begins to grow and is perfected or completed or mature. God's love comes in with Jesus and is made perfect. God's love actually gets to grow now and be real. Not our love, His love. Quite a stark statement. If you don't love your Christian brothers whom you can see, how can you say you love God who you can't see? If you don't love your Christian brothers and sisters, you're a liar and God is not in you. You're unsaved. That's a huge statement. Look around the room. Do you love? Is your heart drawn, attracted, pulled? You can't wait. Well, not everyone here is your favorite person, but we love each other. And we love people that come through this door because God's love has come into me and He loves every single person and died for every single person. I get to have that love now when He comes into me and it gets to grow and mature. That's His love in me. And if we don't have that, we're not His. We're not His, quite honestly. So, my love isn't enough. My love can't match God's love, or I could keep the law. My love for Him and my love for you. But because He loved us first, I can surrender my life to Him. He will come in with His Holy Spirit, with His love, and now I can have a love of His that is growing and being perfected. And growing into loving God with everything I have. And growing into loving my neighbors as I love myself. Amen. Because I know my love isn't perfect, right? Amen. So, there's a story. My final story of the morning. There's a story in John chapter 21. I'm not going to read the whole story to you. Some of you know the story. So this is the night that Jesus is being crucified. And Jesus just had supper with his disciples. And Jesus was telling them that he was going to go and be crucified. And Peter had a fit. Peter said, "There is no way they're touching a hair on your head." And I'm looking right at Kenny. There's no way there's no way I'm letting anybody touch you. And Jesus said, "Peter, before this night is over, you'll deny me three times." No way. And the other disciples joined in and said, "We love you so much, nothing's going to happen to you. You're all going to be scattered. They're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep are going to be scattered. You're fooling yourself, guys. Before this night is over, the rooster will crow three times. You will all deny me." Everyone. And they did. They did. As Peter went into that courtyard, they were trying Jesus just maybe through that doorway, and they were beating him and mocking him and slapping him, and they were starting to really rough him up. And Peter was standing out in the courtyard, warming his hands by a fire, and a little girl, a little servant girl, comes up and she says, "You're with him." And he said, I don't know him. And he's warming his hands, and another little girl comes up and she says, "Aren't you with him?" And he said, "No, I don't know him." And he's warming his hands and they just keep beating Jesus. And then a guy comes up and he says, "Hey, you're one of his." And he says, "I don't know him." And the rooster crows three times. And Peter takes off running. He looks up just for a second through that doorway, and there sits Jesus, and their eyes lock just for a second when the rooster crows and Peter takes off. He just denied Jesus three times, exactly as Jesus said he would. Peter's love, Peter's commitment, and Peter was a rowdy old boy. It just wasn't enough. And Jesus knew that. And Peter took off. And the story kind of concludes, the story kind of ends with these guys out fishing in a boat. Jesus has been crucified, dead. He has risen from the grave on the third day. And the disciples are all out fishing in a boat. And they're not catching anything. And Jesus yells out, and they don't know it's Jesus yet. He yells out from shore, "Throw your net on the other side." And they do. And they fill up this net with fish. And John says, "I think that's the Savior. I think that's Jesus." And Peter, who looks at him, throws off his clothes. He's only got his underwear on now. Jumps into the water and swims to shore. And wouldn't you know, there's Jesus standing by a fire. "Hey, Peter." "Oh. Hey, Peter, do you love me more than these guys? Do you love me? Do you love me like with God's love? With God's love? Do you love me like God more than these?" "Well, Jesus, you know I love you like a brother." "No, Peter. Peter, do you love me like God? Like God loves me?" Peter says, "Jesus, you know I love you like a brother." And Jesus asks him one more time, "Peter, Do you even love me like a brother? And Peter's upset now. And he says, you know my heart. I do love you like a brother. You know I do. And Jesus says, well, feed my sheep then. Feed my sheep then. I know your love isn't enough. I know your love can't stand up to what I want. I know your love falls short every time. And I know you don't love me like you should. But now that you've come clean, feed my sheep, because I love you. And this is what happens. This is what happens with us. So many times, our love, my love, fails him. Man, I blew it again. My love fails him. And I feel like I could never look God in the eyes. I have blown it. This is done. How could he ever love me? I can't believe he loves me. It's just unfathomable. He can't love me. And the truth is, we run from him, we hide from him, we hide from church, we hide from the people at church, we run. Because there's no way he could still love me. Only the exact opposite thing happens. When Peter swims to shore, Jesus asks him, do you love me? Will you come clean with me about your love? Hey, we're standing here by a fire again. How about you throwing your love into the fire and taking my love onto yourself so that you can love and it can grow and perfect and you can love your neighbor like yourself, because your love, it's not going to make it. It's going to get you near. So we have to throw our love into the fire. Take his love. And instead of throwing ourselves under the bus because our love just doesn't quite make it, I blew it again. He says, wait a minute. I'm the one faithful to you. I'm the one saving you. And I want to know, do you love me? And when you'll be real honest about that, I'll come in. I'll come and dine with you. I'll come and make my home with you. And your love will grow. And you will not only grow, you will feed my sheep. But not until you throw your love into the fire. Peter's love was exposed. I'll make a couple statements. We are justified or saved when we believe God and all that he says about Christ, like Abraham and Joseph. We will have to become blind to our own self-righteousness and works to accept God's righteousness, like Paul. We will have to throw our love into the fire and let him purify and perfect his love in us, like Peter. When we admit our love has failed, we're ready to receive his, to follow him, and to feed his sheep. When we're ready to admit, I just don't love like I should. I can't. Jesus, give me your love. Come in to my heart. Bring your love and your Savior in. That's why John says, if you don't love the brothers, you don't love me. You don't have me. You're a liar. Because our love is so faulty, and it's his love in us that lets us love. I want to ask you, have you ever thought you failed God once, finally, for all? It's done, it's over, I've failed him. I haven't loved him like I should. I think I've gone too far. I don't know how he could love me. And I would ask you, do you love him? You don't love him like God wants you to, but do you love him like a brother? Like a savior? Do you love him? Because he's faithful to you. He'll hold you in his hand. He'll protect you from the evil one. He won't let you go. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He'll hold you. It's his love that's doing all the work, not yours. Not yours. As Terry and Debbie come up and sing, I really want you to sing this last song. I want you to sing as a prayer. And if in your mind's eye and in your heart you have to throw your love and your effort into the fire, I want to ask you to do that. Would you stand up with us, please? Please stand. If you're looking back at your life and your love has failed, you failed God. You failed your friends. You failed your family. Jesus is still asking, do you love me? Do you even love me like a brother? If you do, feed my sheep. I'll come into your heart. I'll come into your soul. I'll come into your life. Your love is leaving you shattered and broken. Your love is leaving you with very little. But I'm right here. I got some fish on the fire here. Bring some fish. I'm gonna bring some more from yours, and let's just put our fish on the fire and dine together, me and you. Because I'm going to give you the love you need. The love you're looking for. The love your heart is aching for that some of you might say it's not there. It's not possible. I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give that to you in Jesus. Pray this prayer with me whilst we sing. Make this your prayer. Turn your eyes to Him. Love on this planet, love in this town, it'll fail us 1,000 times. Jesus will never fail you. His love will never run out. Turn your eyes on Jesus. If you need to come up here and pray, you want to get on your knees and pour your life out to Christ, throw your love in the fire, it's open. Go right ahead. You come up here and get right with God. Not because of your love, because of His in Jesus Christ. So what you would do today or tonight, or you would think quietly with the Lord wherever you're at. You would confess to Him that, Lord, I've been trusting in my love. I've been thinking I'm a pretty loving person. I've tried hard. I've tried my best, but it just hasn't been enough. And now I have these things in my past where I poured out my love. I did the best I could and it came up short. And Lord, I really need You. I really need Your love to come into me. I throw my love in the fire. And I want Yours. And the Bible says He will come into you. He will bring an entirely different love. A love that won't fail. And if you look back over your life and you're mad, some of you right now, I can already tell your heart's probably beating a little bit. You're thinking, man, I don't know what I need to do. I'm just going to tell you, you haven't failed Him. To the point of no return. He's still saying, hey, do you love me? Do you want to love me? Feed my sheep. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. This church is so fast becoming a church of love. Not our love, of Christ's love. We do things that we could never do on our own. We're just doing them because Jesus is here. And I want to tell you, welcome. You're welcome here. Amen. Throw your faulty love in the fire with ours. And come and feed his sheep with us. We love you. We love you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love that never fails. Help us to just pry our fingers off our love, our false, faulty love, our greatest effort. Just accept you. Accept the great love of Jesus Christ and the cross. Thank you for loving us so much. It's not that we loved you, but that you loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good day.